Welcome to the eMind Podcast with Dr. Carrie Oberbrunner, where we're committed to helping you think like an entrepreneur and gain an exponential advantage. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. And now, get ready for the eMind.
Hey folks, I have an amazing entrepreneur slash pastor, a man after my own heart, because I'll tell you what, I'm wired the same way. Joel Wayne, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. Hope you are, friend.
Oh my gosh. I'll tell you what, we sat down for coffee last year and I could feel the fireworks going off here because listen, there's a lot of pastors that aren't entrepreneurial that are, let's put it this way, risk averse.
Yes.
Okay. And what they do is I think they often repel entrepreneurs from the church. And I feel like then entrepreneurs go start parachurch organizations.
Yep. Yeah, 100%. You know,
but you're the opposite. You are wired where you kind of like attract risk wired people. So what's going on? Where are you from? And why are you wired this way?
Well, one, thank you for letting me be on here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, actually, in terms of from, I'm from a little bit of everywhere. This is my third lead pastorate. I'm in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I actually started in business. I got a business degree from the University of Georgia.
Wow.
But I love the Lord. I love the Bible. And so I decided to go to seminary, got a degree then after, you know, go get a postgraduate degree. And then I stepped into ministry. And even then I was doing real estate and all this kind of stuff. God made us creative individuals.
Hmm.
And I think it actually, I was thinking about this morning, Carrie, I was processing everything.
Yep.
Do you remember the discipleship material, Experiencing God?
Oh, Henry Blackaby, man. I grew up on that. Where is God at work? Join him in his work.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. That's it. So I was 17 and these adults came to me and they said, we want you to teach this class with us. We want you to lead it. The youngest person was like 40, 42. I'm 17 years old.
What?
And so there was 12 of them. They're like, we want you to, we just like, you're supposed to do it. I'm like, guys, what? I'm 17. I don't, right?
Oh my.
And that was formative for me, but I believe we look at where God's working and we join them. There's a book out there. I couldn't even tell you the author, but I think it's called Opportunity Leadership.
Mm.
Like I firmly believe we look at where God's working. We look at opportunity. We pray about it. We don't just forsake everything we've already been doing and go, could God be using this?
Yep.
Could God use us as a catalyst for spiritual awakening within his church, but also within the world, within businesses, within schools? And then I think the difference is I love looking at those biblical God-given opportunities and chasing them because I think we're amazed to see how God works in them, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So that's my mentality of even leading ministry.
I love it. Joel, what do you think of this statement? I know I get into hot water here because I used to be a theologian and then I kind of moved into the business world. But what do you think of when I say that God was the first entrepreneur?
Oh, man. Oh, God is the definition of creativity. So I know I just used that word already, but I think creativity and entrepreneurship often goes together.
Wow.
They're not synonyms, but they're pretty closely related when you think about it, right? And how else are we so unique and yet wonderfully made? How else was he able to create the heavens and the earth, right? Creativity, and he's like, wow, we can't wrap our mind around even the Grand Canyon, much less all of creation.
Absolutely.
And so when you look at that, I go, I think they do walk hand in hand. And I would call you a practical theologian, a day-to-day theologian.
Ah, so
don't remove the word theologian because I believe you are.
Ah.
But we need to incorporate our theology because your theology is just your idea of who God is.
There you go. I like that. Ooh.
And when we remove our idea of God from the everyday of business and everything else, we've already, I think, dismantled in a very unhealthy way the Great Commission.
It's like atheism. You're saying God isn't. And let's face it, a lot of the people who sit in the church seats might think that they are practical atheists.
Yes.
Meaning God's here in the four walls of the church, but when I go 6 days a week, God really isn't there. Do you see that?
Yeah, I'm already there with you. I'm already there with you. If you start looking at it in this way, we need to be taking our theology, our understanding of God, into each single area of our life, right? We love, I was just preaching this last week, and I told people we love to compartmentalize things,
Yes.
which is in some ways it can be healthy, but we are to never compartmentalize Jesus from any part of our life.
That's right.
And so that's where we have failed. In many regards. And that means you always have questions. I know you already, and you want to ask lots of questions. I want to ask lots of questions. That can make people nervous, right? And it can come across as, why do you want to always better things? Well, because that's okay. And so we need that in the church more than ever. We have lost, I think, two or three generations of our greatest leaders because they feel they have no place in the church.
Ooh, listen, man, you and I could talk for a long time, but that's actually kind of why I feel like God had me leave the pastorate was, I mean, you're a different pastor, by the way. You are a pastor who also has businesses. Is this true?
Yes. Yeah. I have a couple of businesses. My wife has a marketing agency that we started years ago. And then we
Wow.
also have own part of a construction company as well. And yeah, I'm better.
But
I'm
that's
actually,
rare.
it is, but I had people in my church as a pastor before who said you can never do both. But yet now I have a church that embraces it, and I'm actually better at both now because I do them.
That's cool.
And
I
they know
like
it.
that.
I can relate to people in a different manner, and speak to them. And I'm blessed to be able to hire the people I need. I hire my weaknesses, and not everybody's able to do that, and I am. So I'm very fortunate to be in the position that I'm in.
I love it. Listen, we got 9 minutes. I'm going to move into the speed rounds here, okay?
Yes, ready,
You're
set, go.
coming to Cedarville
Yeah.
October 25th. It's a
Yes.
Friday morning. It really kicks off this whole Impact Conference.
Yeah.
So cedarville.edu/impact is the place. We have hundreds who've now signed up, and you're going to get people from all over the world coming here, people in ministry, people. Full-time vocational ministry. You're going to have people that are, quote, in the business world. They're coming together in the same room. What are you going to speak on in chapel? Maybe you're still thinking through it, but why is that kind of like kicking off this whole thing?
Well, I think a lot of it is what we've already spoken about. I'm thrilled to be able to say, look at what God did in the Bible with unique people and how he used that as a catalyst for awakening, not just within the temple, right, or the synagogue or anything, right? Like we start processing it like that, but within their daily life. There's a saying out there, God, we have to be careful. The church isn't a refuge from the world, it's a refuge for the world. So I can
Yeah,
encourage.
wait. You ever hear the C.S. Lewis, the church is not a museum of saints, but a hospital for sinners? You ever hear that
Oh
one?
yeah, same type of mentality, right? It's been said numerous times in a variety of different ways. But when we can actually, we know it to be true. I think we embrace in our lifestyle the reality of it. We have refused to embrace it as our lifestyle. We know it's right, but when we can actually go away, the way that I'm leading my business needs to shift. The way that I'm hiring people, onboarding people needs to shift. And if we can adopt that as the church, man, we will see a movement. Because right now, that's the Spurgeon quote. The problem, is the church is called to influence the world, but the world and the culture has so much influence over the church. That's why we've lost. And so let's shift it. And that's why I love Cedarville, because everybody gets a Bible minor, and let's incorporate that biblical worldview into being a nurse, an engineer, an architect, a teacher, no matter what we're doing.
This is so good. So, why should people spend a Friday, at least half a day, and a Saturday in the cornfields of Cedarville, with people like you, people like me, but people like the chosen
Yeah,
guy,
Dallas Jenkins, yeah.
Dallas? Why should people do that? Like, what's the payoff?
God called us to not be independent, but interdependent as believers. And he called us to spur one another on. and encouragement. And we need that now more than ever. We have begun to value autonomy more than interdependence. And yet God never called us to autonomy. He called us to interdependence upon other brothers and sisters, to
Wow.
learn, to grow, to be developed. And that's why, because when you do that, that's when inspiration turns to transformation. We don't just need more inspiration, we need transformation. That transformation is the change. And I think we see more change when we're willing to come learn from one another and to step forward.
It's so good. I love it. So you are you on the board of directors at Cedarville?
Yeah, I'm a trustee there. Yeah, honored
Trust.
to be. Yeah.
Yeah. Your kids go there. My son goes there. Hopefully more kids are coming from,
Yeah.
that are going to go there from my family. But I felt this way. But I feel like God is on the move at Cedarville. Why do you think God is moving? Like, what indications do you feel like that? And I don't know, being on the trustee board, like, why do you think that's happening?
Yeah, one, when you look at scripture, it's true, but also in our world today, it's true. Leadership. So God uses godly individuals, leaders who are humble and yet aware of his presence. And whether it be Dr. White or Dr. Smallwood and all of your vice presidents that you have, they're godly individuals who are very intentional and very purposeful. They're aware of the call of God and they're willing to do what's needed to be obedient to the call of God. And so that means you don't get distracted. I think that's one of the primary reasons. Now, it's God's grace. Don't hear me say that. God's grace, God's grace. And yes, we got a record class this year, and I think we're going to have more record classes coming, which means more dorms to build, right? Also, I think God's showing off a little bit because nobody would have said middle of the cornfields. You just said it. And God's saying, I don't have to have all the gadgets of the world. All I need is the Holy Spirit to be indwelling. That's it.
Doesn't that seem like the biblical pattern though? Like, the least of the tribes, the least of the nations. God is using the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. But you're right. Like, it takes guts though.
It
Oh my
does.
gosh. I mean, I'll be straight up here. We're going to land the plane here in 2 minutes, but I remember calling Cedarville. This shows my own lack of faith. And be it, I called Cedarville and I was on hold. Okay. So I got my phone here. I'm going to illustrate a point. I was on hold, and I didn't work here. And they start saying, like, for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, and as a recording while I was on hold, I'm like, that's pretty bold, man. I don't know. Like, I'm thinking, wow, that's pretty bold to put that on your university hold music. What do you think, though? I mean, they're pretty bold. What do you think?
Well, I get a lot of different articles that we have to read and we have to process. And so even with the other colleges and universities that are doing really well, they always have the humility to learn from them, but they are led by the Holy Spirit. So you see the difference? So learning and leading and what you're learning versus are you going to automatically just trying to replicate somebody else? We want to learn from others. Your leadership to learn from others, but not necessarily replicate them. They want to make sure they're projecting Jesus Christ. It's the word of God, the testimony of Jesus. That's it. That's why God is blessing, I believe, at Cedarville and just
I
all
think
of
it's amazing.
it.
I mean, just to say this last thing, when we started looking, this was before I was even considered to work here. When my son started looking and he chose Cedarville, I was like, thank you, Lord, because we had toured a lot of schools and there aren't many that, in fact, there's a meme. I don't know if you've seen this one. It shows cocaine and it shows somebody pre-cocaine, after cocaine, heroin pre, post, and then it shows college and it shows pre and post, as in like the college. And the kid is jacked up. Like, you don't even know if it's the same kid. They're so jacked up. Why is that? That we literally have a meme that we're joking about in our society that heroin, cocaine, marijuana, and then college before and after. That's crazy.
It's bizarre and
I'm
it's
gonna show.
sad.
I'll show you this, but it illustrates the point that Cedarville hopefully is showing that before and after they come out more on fire.
Yes.
for Christ. And that's
And
what I'm saying.
I want to see Cedarville influencing other universities in greater ways, but also actually influencing churches in greater ways.
Ooh, and that's why you gotta come, folks. Cedarville.edu/impact. Sign up. We literally have just a few days left for open registrations. But yes, it's gonna be business people, it's gonna be pastors, it's gonna be college students in the room. I can't wait, Joel. So it's gonna kick off with you at chapel, and you're gonna be on a panel with my pastor, Dean Folks,
Yes.
and other
Awesome, man.
pastors.
Yeah.
So thanks for all you're doing. What is your website that people can learn more about the church?
Yeah, they can go to chapel-point. That's with an E on the end of point.org, chapel-point.org, or they can go to bethechurch.org. And that's one of our nonprofits that we have as we're putting out multiplication centers around the world, actually.
He's got some great books too, folks. Check him out on Amazon. So, Joel Wayne, thanks for being here today, my friend.
Hey, take care. Thanks so much.
All right, we'll be in touch.
Thank you for listening to the eMind Podcast with Dr. Carrie Oberbrunner. We look forward to hearing from you and how you're applying the eMind. Please share your story by submitting a review on your platform of choice. We read every single one. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. Visit ignitingsouls.com/emind and cedarville.edu for more help in your entrepreneurial journey.